This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. A Tuxuk Bay man who allegedly assaulted and kidnapped a tribal police officer at gunpoint has been arrested and brought to Bethel to face multiple felony charges. Alaska State Troopers say he avoided being captured for nearly 2 months. On Tuesday, troopers say a Mat-Su-based SWAT team helped them arrest Adrian Kailukiak, who had been avoiding arrest since early December in the Nelson Island community. Troopers spokesperson Austin McDaniel says no one had to fire their weapons and no injuries were reported to troopers during the operation. The state issued an arrest warrant back in early December after Kailukiak, who is 45, allegedly took tribal police officer Gregory Carl hostage at gunpoint. Another tribal police officer was able to defuse the situation, but Kailukiak was not arrested at the time. He was charged with felony kidnapping, weapons misconduct, and assault in the incident. Troopers say Kailukiak fled the community multiple times to avoid attempts by troopers and tribal police to arrest him. In late December, tribal police found Kailukiak in a modified shipping container in Tuxuk Bay. According to charging documents, they retreated after hearing what sounded like someone loading a pistol. Kailukiak is currently being held at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Correctional Center in Bethel. He was scheduled to be arraigned yesterday in Bethel Court on 6 felony charges and 1 misdemeanor. Each year, the Kuskokwim 300 Sled Dog Race ends with an opportunity for the community to reflect on a weekend like no other. This year's Mushers Banquet showed that a little luck and a lot of support has gone a long way in keeping the race going strong as it nears the 50-year mark. Here's a report. The sight of Bethel's Pete Kaiser posing on stage at the Mushers Banquet with his championship trophy may feel like deja vu. This is the 5th year in a row Kaiser has won the race and his 10th overall, making him the winningest musher in K300 history. At this year's banquet, race co-founder Myron Anksman said Kaiser has managed to crack the code.
He has figured out how to win the Kuskokwim 300 by going through in detail every little tiny thing that you have to do to win this race.
The former high watermark, mushing legend Jeff King's 9-win record was established in 2013. Just 2 years later, Kaiser began chipping away at King's record, nabbing his first championship. In the decade that followed, Kaiser has won all but 2 of his K300 races. In his own speech, Kaiser was anything but boastful about becoming the new King of the Kusko.
First of all, I just want to say that really grateful that everybody hasn't acted too annoyed of me yet, because I feel like it's starting to get a little annoying.
After nearly 20 years running the race, the 38-year-old says he's running out of new people to thank. He says he didn't want to leave out longtime Bethel business Stan's barbershop.
Every year I get a haircut before the Cusco or the Iditarod, and he gives me a free haircut, and I told him, if you want to go fast, you got to look fast, so...
The banquet offers up numerous awards for humanitarianism, for elapsed times, for volunteer contributions, and others. 17-year-old Charlie Chingliak won Rookie of the Year, as well as this year's Red Lantern Award for being the last musher across the finish line. Wearing a bright pink sports suit, race officials also tossed in an unofficial Best Dressed Award for the Akyachuk musher. Chingliak thanked Kaiser for the encouragement it took to enter his first 300-mile race.
When I was pulling up to Tuluksak, I received a text from Pete, and he said I was doing good and I was killing it, so I wanted to check how he was doing, and by the time I went on the maps, the tracker to check, he was already finishing it.
Alongside 23 mushers who completed the K300, the banquet recognized the 16 local mushers who completed this year's roughly 65-mile Akyak Dash sprint race. Younger mushers took the chance to thank family members who had shepherded them into the sport. Third place Spiridon Cheney of Nebaskiak got a laugh when he thanked his grandfather, local mushing fixture Father Alexander Larson.
I'm glad he retired so I can run the dogs.
The youngest and only female musher in this year's Akyak Dash, 15-year-old rookie Maya Pavila of Kwithluk, had just one word for the gathered crowd following her 10th place finish. First place Dash musher Michael Larson of Kwithluk thanked the local Alexi Racing Kennel for giving him his start in mushing. He also gave a special shout out to the K300 champion.
We can probably call it the Kaiser 300 since he holds the record now of 10 wins.
Among the many nods to Kaiser, there were also plenty of positive words for K300 race manager Paul Basil, now in his seventh year, making him the longest-serving race manager. At the banquet, Basil mostly focused on commending the massive volunteer effort at race checkpoints and in Bethel, where individual host families took in around 20 mushers, handlers, and their dog teams this year.
At one point this year, we had 30 people registered to do the race, and we had more than enough people willing to do that, which is remarkable.
The weather was beautiful during this year's race, but it was bookended by foggy conditions and freezing rain. The fog delayed the arrival of dogs, mushers, and fireworks into Bethel, where it also grounded small planes needed to drop bags, supplies, and volunteers at checkpoints. Angstman says weather has been a constant threat over the race's 47-year history, nearly canceling more than a dozen of those races. Somehow, the K300 manages to sneak through.
I guess you could say we have the world's worst weather for racing, but the best luck of all to get these races in.
Soon, mushers will have another chance to race on much of the same route in the Bogus Creek 150. An extreme cold snap postponed the race normally meant to tee up the larger K300. It is now scheduled for Saturday, February 14th. Christmas trees don't grow on the tundra around Nome, so each winter, residents ship them in to get into the holiday spirit. But by January, those trees need somewhere to go, and for the past few decades, locals have come up with a unique solution. KNOM's Ben Townsend has the story.
One sledful at a time, Charlie Lean ferries Christmas trees from the shore onto the frozen Bering Sea. With each bump on the chunky sea ice, the smell of evergreen trees faintly appears before a gust of coastal wind wipes it away.
I'll be back!
Almost every year since the mid-90s, locals like Lean have propped up their discarded Christmas trees into augured out holes in the sea ice, creating what is affectionately known as the Nome National Forest. It's ironic, considering the land around Nome is known for its spongy tundra, interrupted only by the occasional willow grove. Charlie Lean's got a bit of a limp these days, so his daughter Reba is taking care of the augering.
He's really taken it under his wing, and I think he just likes the quirkiness of it and knows that it's fun for visitors and around Iditarod time.
Reba trudges across the sea ice, occasionally piercing through the crunchy top layer of snow. The name of the game is to create a nice, even spread of holes so the forest looks prominent from town 100 yards away. After plopping the trees in, the holes are filled with snow and then doused in water, freezing and locking the trees in place.
We've got all the trees on site except two truckloads worth of animals arriving momentarily, and then we'll start ferrying out all the figures, and that's when the whole thing really pops.
An assortment of wooden signs resembling animals like seals, moose, and a dog team arrive on a sled.
Bunch of puffins and stuff. So really nice puffins. I'm really proud of those.
They're replacements for signs used in the Nome National Forest for decades. After some surprise ice breakup last year, those signs floated out to sea and were lost forever.
And I can't remember the actual weather event that sent the ice out, but I just, in disbelief. Heartbreaking. And I'm sad because all those animals, they're nostalgic. There was like a mermaid that my girls loved.
Hours after getting started, the crew finally gets a chance to step back and take in their hard work. The months-old trees are missing a lot of needles, and being out here on the ice probably won't help. But Charlie Lean says nobody's judging.
We don't reject anybody, as long as it's a real tree. So, I mean, forests have woodpecker trees too, so. We're not judging. We appreciate all these trees, yeah.
The Nome National Forest is open to visitors now until late winter, when Charlie Lean plans to be back out here plucking up the signs for next year. Reporting in Nome, I'm Ben Townsend.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Ganumchit coming up.